Every Thursday on Morning Glory. Catch the vibe with me, Karuna Munshi, on Radio Size Thursday Live on Asia Stream at 9:40 a.m.
Tune in to Sight.
Spend the day with Sight.
From 6 a.m. to 9:30 p.m.
on Radio Size Thursday Live.
Radio Size Thursday Live.
Loving pranams at the lotus feet of Lord Sai, the voice, the ears, the heart and soul of Radio Sai Global Harmony. Good morning and thank you for joining us on this beautiful Thursday morning, March the 20th, 2014. You are tuned to Morning Glory, coming to you live from Prachanthi Nilayam, India, the spiritual capital of the universe. The time here in our studio right now is 9:40 a.m. My name is Raghu and I am honored to be filling in for Sister Karuna as the host for this show today. Sister Karuna is away from the office this week, but she has lined up a not-to-be-missed episode for Morning Glory for your inspiration and listening pleasure. Over the next 1 hour or so, I'll be serving this delectable menu to you on her behalf. While we'll continue the very engrossing and riveting conversation with the KVSK Ganesh of Radio Sai under our Fleeting Moments Lasting Memories series, today Radio Sai is proud to debut the first half of a brand episode of Tryst with the Divinity. Well, this is a two-part interview with the internationally respected, renowned and reputed former Vice Chancellor of the Sri Sathya Sai Institute of Higher Learning. Yes, you guessed it right. Under the spotlight today is the Professor Vishwanath Pandit, an economist of international clout whose name is synonymous with his academic brilliance and his success as a teacher and his humility despite his success. Today on Morning Glory, our Tryst with Divinity exclusive interview with Dr. Vishwanath Pandit must not be missed, and it is coming up shortly. But first, let's turn our attention to what's keeping Prachanthi Nilayam always on a high. Well, the weather for starters continues to be unseasonably pleasant during mornings, evenings and overnight, but during the day, the summer is beginning to raise its hot head. Suddenly our water consumption has gone up and people here are switching to cooler cotton clothings. Looks like the summer is finally arrived, even though somewhat reluctantly, and we don't mind that, even one bit. Put up with the temperatures have begun to crawl up. We have overnight lows of 24 degrees daytime highs are close to 38 degrees. Well, bright blue skies and gentle breeze make it quite tolerable for this time of the year. Sai students are quite relieved that the heat is not as bothersome as it could have been during their annual exams that are currently going on. And the good news is that, along with the rising temperatures, the energy levels are also surging as Prachanthi Nilayam, at Prachanthi Nilayam, as the gratitude programs are continuing in the cyclone hall. Well, here is a short clip from the recent gratitude program by the undergraduate students of Prachanthi Nilayam campus. It is just to give you a taste of the love that Sai students are pouring out to their divine founder chancellor as they leave the portals of his divine university.
Ah, آردنار جہاں ذکر حبیب ہوتا ہے خدا ان کے قریب ہوتا ہے تیری چوکھٹ سے مانگنے والا بابا کون کہتا ہے غریب ہوتا ہے جو بات دوا سے نہ بن سکی وہ بات دعا سے ہوتی ہے جب کامل مرشد ملتا ہے پھر بات خدا سے ہوتی ہے ہو لال میری ہو لال میری ہو لال میری پت رکھیو بلا جھولے لالن جندنی دا سیون داس کی شاباد چراغ تیرے بلن ہمیشہ چار چراغ تیرے بلن ہمیشہ پنجاب میں بالن آیا بلا جھولے لالن پنجاب میں بالن پنجاب میں بالن آیا بلا جھولے لالن زندگی دا
میری پتر رکھو بلا لالن
dear sisters and brothers, surely you will agree with us that there is no place in the universe as easy on the heart and as soothing on the soul as our Prashanti Nilayam, the abode of highest peace, the spiritual capital of the universe. And through the various segments of our Thursday Life program, we bring you glimpses of the unparalleled glory of Prashanti Nilayam and one source that makes it so sacred, our beloved Bhagavan Sri Satya Sai Baba. So let's take off Morning Glory today on March 20th, 2014 with part one of our brand new Radio Sai exclusive Tryst with Divinity interview with Professor Vishwanath Pandit, the former Vice Chancellor of the Sri Satya Sai Institute of Higher Learning. Here he is in conversation with Radio Sai's Karuna Munshi.
Tune into Sai. Spend the day with Sai.
From 6 a.m. to 9:30 p.m. on Radio Sai Thursday Live.
Radio Sai Thursday Live.
Stay tuned.
I had a lot of fractures, I had a lot of bruises, and I had breathing problems, but it was Baba, Baba, Baba every day. With every breath, with every step I would take while running, it would be Om Shri Sai Ram.
Well, it actually all started with my mother getting a vision of Swami. This was in 1970, when she was cooking.
There were lots of roses and of course tiny little rosebuds, which was nowhere ready to bloom. And he just touched it with his finger.
Mm-hmm.
And just like a movie or a video,
mm-hmm.
right in front of my eyes, you know, this rosebud started to get bigger and bigger and bigger and opened out into a beautiful rose.
Love all, serve all, we've made as famous as Swami has at the Hard Rock, because we put it on millions and millions of t-shirts, jackets, buttons, badges, everything. If you got your check, if you work for me at the top, love all, serve all, we put huge signs up in every restaurant around the world.
Tryst with Divinity is our weekly series in which we bring you conversations with devotees of Bhagwan Baba from around the globe. You can listen to this on Asia stream of Radio Sai every Thursday at 9:50 a.m. and 8:30 p.m. To know more about the timings of this weekly series, Tryst with Divinity, on other streams of Radio Sai, please go to the schedule page of our website, radiosai.org, or you can also download and listen to any interview of your choice in this series at your leisure by visiting the link radiosai.org/tryst, that is radiosai.org/tryst or tryst. Thank you and happy listening. Sai Ram.
Sai Ram, dear listeners, in today's Tryst with Divinity, our guest is Professor V.N. Pandit, the 8th Vice Chancellor of the Sai University. On August 6, 2008, when the revered founder chancellor of the Sri Satya Sai Institute of Higher Learning, Bhagwan Sri Satya Sai Baba, conferred the honor of vice chancellorship on Dr. Pandit, it marked the culmination of Professor Pandit's brilliant academic career as a teacher of economics. Dr. Pandit is an internationally respected economist who is considered the pioneer of macroeconomics policy modeling in India. He received his PhD from the Wharton Business School, University of Pennsylvania, USA, under the Nobel laureate, Dr. Lawrence Klein. Before joining the Sai University, Dr. Pandit was head of the Economics Department and director, Center for Development of Economics at the prestigious Delhi School of Economics, New Delhi. He has also been an advisor to the government of Sri Lanka and the World Bank on economic policy issues. Other highlights of his career include serving as visiting professor, University of Manchester, UK, University of Pennsylvania, US, faculty member, University of North Carolina, US. Dr. Pandit, who has published a large number of papers in national and international journals and written 9 books on economics, has also been president of the Indian Econometric Society. Currently, Dr. Pandit guides research scholars at the Sai University, and among the many awards he has been decorated with are the Swami Pravananda Saraswati National Award 2004 by the University Grants Commission and the very prestigious Indian Council for Social Science Research National Fellowship 2013-2014. Since the year 2001, Dr. Pandit and his wife Mrs. Krishna Pandit are ashramites at Prashanthi Nilayam. However, Dr. Pandit's association with the Sai University dates back to 1986 when Bhagwan decided to start the MBA program at his university. In 1987, Dr. Pandit was appointed a member of the Sai University's Academic Council. He also had the good fortune to be felicitated by the revered founder Chancellor Bhagwan Baba along with three other teachers of the university in June of 2006. Earlier on, while living in New Delhi, the Pandits were very active at the Sri Satya Sai International Center and served the Sai organization in various capacities. Now, despite such a stellar resume, for centuries to come, posterity will remember Dr. Pandit for an unrelated distinction. In the annals of the Sri Satya Sai history, he will always remain that very last person that the avatar looked at and blessed with a divine smile as he was wheeled into the ICU on that fateful day on March 28, 2011. Today, after about 2 years of persistent trying, we are finally honored to have Professor Pandit with us to share this and some other experiences with Radio Sai listeners. Sairam, Professor Pandit, and a very warm welcome to Radio Sai, sir.
Thank you very much, Sairam.
Sir, let's backtrack to that very warm afternoon, March 2011. Prashanthi Nilayam was very quiet as it was siesta time for most of the early risers of the ashram. But suddenly there was a bit of commotion near Yajur Mandir and you responded immediately. What exactly happened?
Let me go back a little bit and start from Wednesday, March 23rd.
Mm-hmm.
Now that happens to be a special day for me personally. Let's not get into that. But as we enter the Yajur Mandir as usual in the evening.
After Aarti
with Swami and with me were the other vice chancellors and other people, five or six of us. And we had a very marvelous darshan and everyone was excited. And I had to go to Chennai a couple of days later. So I thought this was a good opportunity to get Swami's permission and blessings for that. Because that was scheduled for Saturday, March 26.
Mm-hmm.
The Madras School of Economics, I was on their advisory committee and they were insisting I should attend this meeting,
mm-hmm.
but I not attended many of the earlier meetings. So I requested Swami as he was retiring for that day and getting his blessings, and he didn't seem to pay much attention to what I was saying. That's what I felt. But anyway, you know, I just tried to withdraw from the place and he asked me to stay back, stand where I was, and he signed to the boys there, asked them to get the vibhuti bowl, which they brought forward and gave me some of these packets, and then he called one by one everyone there and gave them 4 or 5 packets each one of them. Now that looks like that was the kind of a last gift that was for us. And I remember when we came out of Yajur Mandir, everybody was very thankful that, you know, you asked for vibhuti and we also got. I had to clarify that I didn't ask for vibhuti. It was divine sankalpa itself to give us all.
So this is that small group of people who used to walk back to the Yajur Mandir with Bhagwan.
That is the small group.
The secretary of the trust, the All India president, few vice chancellors.
That's right. About 5-6 of us usually. So this is March 23rd. Now March 24th, as some of you might recall, there was no darshan at all. That was Thursday.
Mm.
And I was still wondering whether I'll get the permission, because the previous day, somehow he didn't seem to pay much attention to what I was saying. Though people said that it's all right, you know, you put the request to him and his blessings are there. But I still didn't really make up my mind whether to go to Chennai or not. Then Friday, the next day, which was March 25th, I, again, usual thing after the Aarti, that day Swami gave darshan to to everyone, and it was a nice darshan. And after the arati, when we went back to Yajur Mandir, and I once again did what I had done 2 days earlier, and Swami said, "You go." So he gave me the permission and blessed me. But he also, that's very important, I'll never forget that. That day he talked to me in considerable detail, where are you going, why are you going, and all those kind of things. So I had to explain the whole thing. And I held his hands and he also responded very nicely and listened to the whole thing and said, "Okay, you go." So he gave me the permission. But I remember still he asked all the details, where are you going, why are you going, when do you have to go, when do you come back. But he also ended by saying, "Come back soon." So what I did was, I went on Saturday afternoon, was the meeting there, and I rushed back on Sunday itself. So I wanted to be back here as soon as I could. So Sunday, March 27th, as I reached about sometime in the evening, it must have been about 5:36 or something like, bhajan looked like it was about to come, finish. And then I said, I'll not be able to make to the bhajan, but let me go to the Yajur Mandir and join others and have Swami's darshan. But it turned out that Swami didn't give darshan that day. I went to the Yajur Mandir, I was told that Swami is not well and he is maybe taken to the hospital. But that didn't happen. We were there and some of us sat there in the adjacent room of Swami, and then we were there till about almost 9:30, 10 o'clock.
Where was Bhagwan at that time?
Bhagwan was in the upstairs. He had not gone out for darshan that day.
So he was in his bedroom upstairs?
He was in his bedroom, and they were saying that he will be going, and there's an ambulance was waiting. But ultimately what happened is that ambulance was sent back, and Swami said, "No, I'm all right, I will not go." Mm-hmm. And two doctors were there, Dr. Iyer and Dr. Dash were there, and we were told that you can retire now. There's no point in staying back. So we went back. Now, this is a Sunday.
Mm.
Now, Monday afternoon, as usual, I had gone to the university and come back. And about 2 o'clock, there's some commotion outside our house because I'm located right close to the Yajur Mandir on that main road which connects to the round buildings and all that. And I immediately got dressed and I went out to see what was happening. There was an ambulance which was being taken into the Yajur Mandir. And I came back and I called Professor Venkataraman. Said there is some new development, probably Swami might be taken to the hospital. So he said, "Oh, is that so?" And he came. But by that time, the ambulance had come out of Yajur Mandir and it went past us. Then what we did was we followed the ambulance. Immediately, Professor Venkataraman had just come, and then we said,
in
"What do we
car.
Do?"
In his car.
In his car. And I said, "Let's follow the ambulance." And we were very close to the ambulance because the ambulance was being driven rather slowly and we could make up the distance that was ahead.
Could you see Bhagwan in the ambulance from the
No, car? We couldn't see him there. But we reached the super specialty hostel almost the same time as the ambulance. Ambulance entered, we entered soon after that. Just another furlong or half a furlong. Otherwise, we would not, if there had been a longer distance, we would not have been allowed to go in. So we were probably the last people to allowed to go in at that time. And the most memorable thing is that as Swami was still in the wheelchair, we note that it was he was not in the any other way. Normally in the ambulance you have this other...
Yeah, people have to lie down.
Yeah, lie
was,
down.
He went sitting in his own
he
chair.
He was sitting in the wheelchair and the wheelchair was brought down. And he was there in front of us for a couple of few minutes, and that is the most memorable thing. And he saw me there and he gave a beautiful smile, divine smile on his face. And he looked quite normal, everything, nothing to worry about. And all of us thought that it's just for a checkup and something like that. He'll probably not even stay here, he'll be taken back and everything will be all right. But that smile is something which can never be forgotten.
The best treasure,
yes,
huh?
Best
what
treasure.
A memory.
And he somehow looked direct at me and gave that smile. And then in a few minutes he was taken up to the, you know, checking for various things. And we were allowed after some gap to go up and be in the adjacent rooms and all that.
Then Bhagwan never came out of the hospital.
He never came out of the hospital.
Till the Mahasamadhi happened.
So my feeling is that two things. One is the smile, which is the greatest treasure I could have had. I don't know whether I deserved it. The second thing is also the earlier, you know, conversation with him when I was to go to Chennai might have been, my guess is, of course, those who are in the Yajur Mandir is a different case. But as far as those who are not in the Majur Mandir, that might have been the last long conversation he had with anyone. You know, my asking me about where I'm going, when
the
I'm
trip,
going.
The conference in Chennai.
Conference. This was a meeting, this advisory committee meeting in Chennai. So that is the kind of
And impression. Those words to come back soon.
That's right. Now you know later I realized the meaning of why he was saying that.
And had you been a day late, you would not have,
had that
beautiful fortune my
that
God.
Blessing.
Mm.
So this is how that went, and this is really very fresh in my memory, and I'll never forget this thing. And this is divine grace.
Yeah. Yesterday I was trying to imagine, when Krishna left the body, who was the last person the Krishna avatar would have smiled at? Or before Rama, they say, walked into the Saryu River with his brothers, who was the last person he cast his divine glance at and smiled? And Dr. Pandit, you're one very fortunate devotee.
I'm really very fortunate to have had that great fortune too.
Oh, for sure. Yeah. Now, you've known Swami for decades. So, sir, without interrupting you, may I request you to just go down memory lane and share with us at least a few highlights of your many experiences with Swami and the precious lessons you have received from him.
Let me start with, coming to know of Swami before other things. I am reminded of a story. I had gone to University of Rajasthan for some, they had some selection committee or some meeting, I don't remember the details. And there was one Dr. Professor Narayan Sinha who was, looking after me and all that. He took me to a temple, a Krishna temple. There's a nice Krishna temple in Jaipur. I don't know whether you've seen that. They have an evening, lot of, dancing. People are,
I see.
It's just bhajan is going on, some other thing is going on, and people are also dancing with that.
I see.
And he took me there. And after that was over, he had another colleague who knew that I was frequently visiting Prashanthi Nilayam. Then he says, sir, why don't you take us also sometime? Then Dr. Narayan Sinha, I remember with, how don't know how, this great wisdom. He says, when you go to a divine place, you don't go on your own and nobody can take you there. It has to be his invitation.
That's truly the Indian tradition.
You have to be called.
Yes.
You cannot go. So that is really the story of all of us. I think this is undeniable.
I agree completely.
We might have planned to come many times, but it's not, it
only
will
when
not
the
happen.
Call comes, the trip will comes. Materialize for sure.
Now, I'll tell you a very nice anecdote in this thing. Long back in 1964, I was in Vishakhapatnam for some refresher course with the Indian Studies Institute was holding. And after that, I came to Hyderabad. From Hyderabad, I was going to Bangalore. Now, on the way, I was taking this train from Hyderabad. It stopped in a place called Dharmavaram.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't know anything about it. This was my first visit to the south. And Dharmavaram, a lot of people got down the train and I asked them, where are you going? They said, we are going for the darshan of Bhagavan Sri Satya Sai Baba. I was very impressed and I had a minute's thought, why don't I also get down and have his darshan and then proceed to Bangalore. That was not the time people had cell phones and all these facilities. But then I remembered that I have someone waiting for me in Bangalore. I should not let them down and it may not be easy to inform him that I'll be delayed by one more day or something. So I decided not to. The time has not come. This is 1964. This is a very interesting sequence. 6 years later in 1970, I was, as you mentioned earlier, I was teaching for a year at the University of North Carolina, Chapel Hill.
Yes, Chapel Hill.
Earlier was Dharmavaram D. This is Chapel Hill C. And there somebody had spent some time here. He was a devotee, he was an American, not an Indian. He was an American and he had spent 2-3 months here and then had gone back there and had set up a restaurant. And he invited another friend of mine and me also, why don't you visit my restaurant, have lunch there and see how it is and all that. So we went there and we saw a picture of Swami there in that restaurant. And then he came up and he said, do you know? I said, it's some Satya Sai Baba. I wasn't sure anything more details. So he was a bit put off because neither my friend nor I knew much about him. I could recognize from the picture this is somebody who's called Satya Sai Baba.
Two people from India didn't know the American person. Do you remember who the American person was?
I don't remember now. Mm-hmm. It's a long time. So this is the second visit, and this is 6 years after the first incident. 6 years later again, this is also always a 6 year sequence, I don't know why. 1976, as you said, I was teaching University of Manchester. I had a friend who was in London, and he had been here for the 50th birthday previous year, 1975, Mr. Call, and he's a devotee of a long standing. He told me about Swami, he had spent some time here and all that, and he said there is a Guru Purnima being celebrated in Bradford. Now it's B, from D to C, C to B. Bradford, we are planning to attend, and we'll come up to Manchester and then you come with us. And that was 76, we attended the first major event in the Sai world. That was the Guru Purnima, about 1,500 people had gathered from all over England for that celebration. That is 76. And then, again, nothing really happened. We became kind of devotees. We got impressed with the message and what he was doing and all that. But nothing really much. We wanted to come here, but that didn't happen. That happened 6 years later, 1982. 1982, we had first a darshan in Delhi itself. Swami visited Delhi in 1982. Somebody called and he said, you know, Bhagwan Sri Satya Sai Baba is in Delhi, he is staying with Justice Bhagwati, his residence. And we went there, but we had missed that, because by that time he had withdrawn, he had, you know, retired, but he was going to for the Bhumi Puja of this Satya Sai Vidya Vihar. So somebody suddenly came, this is again miraculous. We were wondering how to reach there, because this is out in New Delhi, that area you can't get in, you know, auto rickshaw or even taxi easily, you have to search for it, and we would have to be there soon. Then somebody comes and stops his car in front of us. He says that, you want to go to Kalkaji, Satya Sai Vidya Vihar? I said, yes, you come with me, I'm going there. So he just
gave us...
Some stranger, mm-hmm. I didn't, even now I don't know who it was. He says, you come with me, and he took us there, and we had about an hour with this Bhumi Puja in front of Swami. And then later the same November we came here to Puttaparthi. By the way, that was the first convocation of the university which we attended. And also the inauguration of the new administrative block up there.
That's the year I graduated.
Is that the year you graduated?
Yes.
Okay.
So I was part of the first convocation of the Sai University.
Yeah, I remember, we were standing somewhere, some distance somewhere, we had to struggle for getting some space somewhere. But
you would never have imagined you will come back to this university as a vice-chancellor at some point
never.
In time.
But I knew the then vice-chancellor, Professor Gokak, was a friend of my uncle who was also professor of English. So, and I had met him earlier once or twice. So I went to his house and he was nice and spent some time there.
Professor V.K. Gokak.
Yeah, V.K. Gokak.
Yes.
So, but that was a memorable visit in 82. And then... it was ultimately in 1986, as you mentioned, when the management program was started by Swami. I came here in summer, and then I was told suddenly that, you know, for the admissions, we'll not go to agency, because usually those days, I don't know how it is now, some agencies would undertake your admission process. They would set the question paper and admission test and interview and all that kind of thing. Because here there was no one, there was no faculty, nothing was there. So I was told that Swami has said that the Delhi man will come and he will ask him to set the admission test, which I did, and I did the next year also. There was no faculty, so in some sense these people used to call me the first member of the faculty.
And the only one at that time.
Only one at that. Later it started, the program, actually classes started from August. I think August 28th or something like that, 86. Now then another incident is even more interesting. We came again in October, and as one day I went for darshan in the evening, and everybody said the Swami is not giving darshan here today, he has gone to the hostel, the institute hostel. So I didn't know what to do. I said, let me also walk down to the hostel, just since there is nothing else to do here, let me see how it... As I went there, there was a strict, you know, this PMs were, doors were closed and everything. But as I reached there, somebody came and told this man at the door, no, allow him to come in. You know, these are the miracles which have no explanation. Allow him to come in. So I went inside. I didn't know what. I didn't even ask why. And then somebody else came and Swami is calling you inside. And Swami was supposed to have dinner. Was in, you know, it was planned to have, he will have dinner with the students there. As I went in there, they said, sit in this row in front of Swami. So I had a nice dinner and my wife was here waiting, what's happened, he's not come back and all that. And then after the dinner, I was going and washing my hands in the adjacent room. Suddenly he said, Swami is calling you, Swami is calling you. So I went back and Swami said, when will you start teaching? I said, Swami, whenever you tell me. He said, tomorrow is Thursday. You start tomorrow. So I started taking classes with the MBA.
But didn't you have another professional engagement elsewhere at that time?
No, teaching means it was not a regular teaching.
Mm-hmm.
So I was here for about a couple of weeks.
I see.
So he said, you start teaching.
Visiting faculty.
Visiting. Mm-hmm. That visiting faculty status remained for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
Then 87 I was put on the academic council and it went on like that. So ultimately when the MA program in economics was started, he told everyone except, you know, even the vice chancellor and the registrar didn't know. He went out to the students in Darshan in Whitefield, Vrindavan, and told them, you stay on for MA economics, the Delhi professor is coming to start. So then suddenly that evening I got a telephone call from the registrar, Professor Lakshmi Narasimhan, saying that Swami wants you to come here and all that. Because till then, it's very important. Till then I had been repeatedly asking Swami, you call me to your university. He said, not my university, it's your university. And he said, I'll tell you. But it was, it took another 15 odd years for that to materialize. So 2001, then he says,
finally.
I came immediately, 2-3 days later I flew to Bangalore and Swami gave darshan and he said, you come and join here, start the program. So I went back to Delhi and gave my resignation to the vice chancellor.
So you've taught in some of the finest schools around the world, University of Manchester, Chapel Hill, North Carolina. You've taught at the Wharton Business School at University of Pennsylvania, at the Delhi School of Economics, which is quite a prestigious institution. When you first came to the Sri Satya Sai Institute of Higher Learning, what was your first impression of the system of education?
No, that's why I came here. In fact, I was so impressed with the system of education. But by the way, you know, this, I'll tell you something about what I know more, you know, for example, the subject next to economics is commerce.
Right.
Delhi University has an excellent BA honors program and also MCom program in commerce. But I found here, it was equally good here, or even better in some ways. I'm purely in academic terms.
Yeah.
Even now I can claim that the commerce education at the undergraduate level, now we don't have an MCom program, is just as good as Delhi University, or, you know, is in fact better than that. Not just, I'm sorry.
That's very nice to hear from somebody who
Very good. It was better than most other universities here. And I know even now some people who come from Bombay University, they might know a few more things about a few more papers, but the basic training in the teaching commerce is there. And let me tell you, that encouraged me when I came here to teach economics. The economics syllabus here was just as good or even better than in Delhi University. And I can even say that it stands way out compared to many other central universities. I know from, you know, Central University of Hyderabad, you would come here, their teachers, and they would say that in your honors, BSc honors, we started the BSc honors much earlier in the mid-90s, that was mathematics, economics, statistics combination.
Right.
They said, you're teaching in honors what we barely teach in the MA level, at the MA level. That's still true. And our students have done very well professionally and otherwise. I'm not talking about the value-oriented education. I'm talking
pure academic
terms. Our students, one of them has finished his PhD from Columbia, New York.
Wow.
And
very
he's
impressive.
Now likely to join a United Nations position. Another fellow, much earlier, he had graduated in mid-90s, and then gone to Indian Statistical Institute, Calcutta, then ultimately to one of the American, leading American, which one was it? It's Midwest, one of the universities. Northwestern, I think. He got his PhD from there. And another fellow now, more recent, is now doing his PhD at Stanford. And two of them have finished from France, one of the leading universities in France, and are now likely to go to Germany. And like that, and many have finished other courses from England. They're doing very well.
Obviously, and when the program is so strong.
No, let me mention one more case. Hmm. One of our students went to the Indira Gandhi Institute in Bombay, which is a very leading institution at present. And in the admission test, in the written, his rank was 22nd or 23rd, something like that. But after the interview, his rank was 2nd. It is not because the written you can say some chance, lucky, some question came which he knew very well and all that. But after being interviewed, they raised his ranking from 23rd to 2nd. And he is now finishing his doctorate there.
Very impressive.
And many others also. They are doing really very well. This is only in terms of the academic things. But much more is the values with which they leave this place. And all of them are really impressive. And some have finished doctorate, some have done that. There are no compromise between... I personally don't think there is any compromise. I don't know whether everyone else will agree with me. I have a feeling that the value-oriented education strengthens your pure academic achievements. It's not that one is at the cost of another. I don't agree.
They complement each other, basically.
They complement each other.
Mm-hmm.
Not merely complement, they promote. You know, some of these values, your concentration, your devotion, your determination, and other things that Swami teaches, they help you academically.
Definitely.
They're academic virtues. And it depends on how you use them, then the values come in. So that was very impressive. And when we started the management program here, it was really very good.
And that's why the school is so successful,
University. They're getting good jobs. And not only that, but whatever they do, there's a purpose in that. And they are stand distinct. Because nowadays, one is getting a bit frustrated. Some of these top institutions are producing students who have no values at all. You know, I said this earlier, in the talk about the world of finance and all that kind of thing. Some of the best brains are working out the tricks and problems which really are facing the world of economics today.
Tune in to Sight.
Spend the day with Sight.
From 6 a.m. to 9:30 p.m.
on Radio Sai's Thursday Live.
Radio Sai Thursday Live.
Stay tuned. Dear listeners, loving Sai Ram and greetings once again. Thank you for staying with Morning Glory on Thursday Live, coming to you from Prashant in Nilayam. Well, today is 20th of March 2014 and the time in the ashram right now is 10:30 a.m. Dear listeners, we hope you enjoyed that Twist with Divinity conversation with Professor Vishwanath Pandit. Your feedback is very important to us and I assure you that Sister Karuna will be looking forward to it. So please go ahead and email us. You can reach us at listener@radiosai.org. By the way, there are several hundred interesting and insightful interviews with Sai devotees from around the world under our Twist with Divinity series. You can access them all at radiosai.org/trist. That is radiosai.org/TRYST, trist. Well, dear listeners, before we go any further, here is a musical treat to bless you out on Morning Glory, coming to you live from Prashant Nilayam, India, the seat of all that is auspicious, true and beautiful.
Vasilani, Nan Jyoti Malo, వెలిగించని వర్షించే వచనామృతం, కురిపించే ప్రేమామృతం. వీక్షించే ఆకాశమే ఓ సాక్షి, ఆడేటి శనయే తపించే హృదయమే ఓ భాషయే, వెలిగేటి ఆ సూర్యుడే ఓ దీపమై, సాగేటి ఓ మేఘమే మాధుతయై, కలరించు ఆలయే చిరుహస్తమై, లిఖించే లేఖను ఏకే బని, లిఖించే లేఖను ఏకే బని,
a great feeling when Sai looked at me with inquisitive eyes. It was the first time he had seen his own mother. It was like my son had been born again.
We could not believe our ears when we learned that in Baba's hospital, even complex surgeries are done absolutely free of cost.
I have no words to express my gratitude for what they've done.
Yes, I had always believed in God. But you all know that was the God whom I had never seen. After coming here, I now believe in a God whom I have not only seen, but also experienced.
Medical Marvels of Love is our weekly radio series in which we bring you patient profiles from India's top-of-the-line super-speciality hospitals, often referred to as modern temples of healing. The Sri Sakti Sai Institute of Higher Medical Sciences, located at Whitefield, Bangalore, and Prashanti Gram in Puttaparthi. You can listen to this on Asia Stream of Radio Sai every Sunday at 8 p.m. To know about the timings of this weekly series, Medical Marvels of Love on other streams of Radio Sai, please go to the schedule page of our website radiosai.org. You can also download and listen to this at your leisure by visiting the link radiosai.org/medical. Thank you and happy listening. Sai Ram.
Tune into Sai.
Spend the day with Sai.
From 6 a.m. to 9:30 p.m. on Radio Sai Thursday Live.
Radio Sai Thursday Live.
Stay tuned. Sai Ram and welcome back, dear listeners, to Morning Glory, coming to you live from Prashanthi Nilayam, India. And the time right now in our studio is 10:37 a.m. Well, today is 20th of March 2014 and I am Raghu filling in for Sister Karuna. Now, it's time for me to treat you to part 4 of this much-awaited 6-part in-house Fleeting Moments interview with Brother KVSK Ganesh of Radio Sai. And in conversation with him is Radio Sai's Karuna Munshi. And here it is for your listening pleasure.
Now, you had the great fortune of traveling many times with Swami. I can think of 4 phenomenal trips with Bhagwan, 3 to Kodaikanal and 1 to Hadji, where Swami also went to Mumbai. Tell us about that. How did you get selected? What is it like to travel with God in physical form and to be part of His travel entourage? This is like one magical world we know so little about.
Any student's dream after joining this institute will be surely to go along with Swami. And in my second year post-graduation, I heard of Swami going to Kodaikanal because there was a long gap. After 99, Swami had gone only in 2003. So that time I was not knowing about this trip. So I never stayed back for vacation because people who stay in vacation usually get this opportunity. This was in the year 2005. So I was praying to Swami that Swami should take me along with him to Kodai.
Did you write those letters?
No. I never mentioned this in my letters.
Just prayed in your
just
heart.
Prayed that I have to be with Swami. That is the only prayer I had. I want to be with you. So, it was summer vacation and much before the vacation, around 15 days, Swami had never spoken to me. It was like a dull period for me because Swami was not looking at me. Obviously, some churning must be going on inside me to make me learn some lessons. Those 15 days, the heat of selection of this Kodai trip was going on. And I never felt that I will be a part of this trip. Because Swami was not looking at me as Swami was speaking to other boys. Then one fine afternoon, one of our sirs had called a group of boys inside the dispensary room. I still remember that room.
In the hostel?
In the hostel.
Mm-hmm.
Because obviously when so many boys are waiting, it won't be nice to reveal to everybody.
Yeah.
So they called us. And as soon as that sir told us that, see boys, you are blessed by Swami to be as a part of Swami's Kodai trip. That sentence itself was such a, it gave me so much of joy when I heard that I was a part of Swami's group. Then obviously I was so thrilled. Luckily at that point of time my parents were here. So they felt very happy that I was given an opportunity to go along with Swami. The first trip was in 2005. First time I traveled with Swami. Before going to this Kodaikanal trip, Swami had given us 3 interviews. 1 in the interview room and 2 in the bhajan hall.
This was for the group that was going to travel.
Yes. So, 3 interviews before the journey, actual journey. And Swami was telling us in so much of detail how to pack your luggage, how to tie ribbons to your luggage, how to mark your luggage, And so many details that Swami was going into. See boys, you are going on a very big trip. You have to arrange all your luggage properly. And just like a mother and father who takes care, who is going to take you for a summer trip. It was just that kind of feeling which we were having. And two times he called us. It was really a blessing for us to be with him. And the first time we entered the flight, and all these days, Swami was not speaking to me. He was not even looking at me, even in these three interviews.
Oh, but he had marked your name for the list.
Everything was going on in silence.
Oh, I see.
He had something in store for me.
Of course.
And that was the first time I was boarding a flight.
In your life?
In my life, yeah. So, as soon as I entered the flight, it was obviously so chill and so nice to sit. I was seeing from the window. And as the flight took off, Swami started coming in between the boys.
So, walking down the aisle.
Then, directly he came to me and the first words which he spoke on the plane was with me. He told me, "Are you going on flight for the first time?" Swami asked. Then it was like after 20 days of Mounam, when you open your mouth, it's so sweet and nice to listen. So then I smiled at Swami and I was really, I cannot explain those in words. I was very, very happy that Swami spoke to me first. Then I told Swami, "This is the first time I'm coming in a plane." Then Swami told, "So enjoy the flight," Swami told. Swami is a perfect host. It's an amazing thing how Swami takes people along with him. It's so beautiful to feel those things. And after getting on the flight, Swami had gone to Sai Shruti in the car. So
where did you land? Which city?
We landed in Madurai.
Madurai, okay. And Swami went straight to Sai Shruti.
We had gone to
TVS Cafe.
On the way, we had a halt there.
A tractor and farm equipment factory.
Yes. So there we had a small session with Swami, and Swami had obviously given a personal session to them. So after our session there, Swami had gone before us. Then we followed Swami. Swami made us go in a very, very big and luxurious bus. It was written Incredible India on that. And it was like a joyride for all of us. But we didn't know that we were going on a spiritual journey towards the... It's a cold place, obviously, Kodaikanal. And it's like Kailasha with Shiva and Parvati together. But one thing, when I was selected for this trip, I always had the habit of taking teacher's blessings before doing any good thing. So I went to Anil Kumar sir, I went to Ramamurthy sir, who were all my teachers, and I took their blessings. They told me only one thing. See, Swami will take you to this Kodai trip, but you will get lost in whatever he speaks so much that you will forget that he is divine. Every moment you ensure that you see a divine aspect in whatever Swami tells. So from the time I boarded the flight, I kept reminding myself that I am not going for an enjoying trip. It's a spiritual journey for me. And every moment in the trip, I just saw Swami as God. I just never gave an opportunity to my mind that, no, he is taking us on a joy trip or something like that.
It wasn't a fun excursion.
Yeah, it's not an excursion, but it's a spiritual sojourn. So coming back to this bus. So as soon as we got down, it was almost 8 o'clock in the night.
When we reached Kodai.
Swami had reached much before us.
Yeah.
And when we entered Sai Shruti, it was like our mother is waiting for us. Swami was holding the door and he was standing and waiting for all of us. And Swami told, come. And we felt so thrilled and so happy. For the first time we are entering Swami's home. And it was a dark night and all the bulbs inside Sai Shruti were on. And Swami in his beautiful robe was standing in front of the door. And Swami so lovingly he was telling us, "See, it's very cold outside. I have already arranged beds and blankets for all of you. So you take rest now. Morning I'll come and see you. So have a hot water bath so that you won't feel tired and you go to sleep. All food is ready for you. You eat nicely. Go and take rest." These were the words, first words when we entered Sai Shruti. And it was such a beautiful experience. A mother and her children together in the home. Then obviously we were called for a short meeting. and we were told how to maintain ourselves, how to be disciplined. Because when we are staying next door to Swami, obviously our discipline level should be much, much higher.
No loud talking, no laughing. Yeah.
So the discipline levels were much, much higher than when we were outside. The first words which Swami spoke to me in Sai Shruti were on the next morning. We were waiting upstairs next to Swami's room for his darshan, first darshan. So it was around 7:30. Swami opened the door, and as soon as he opened the door, that loving smile and that, I just cannot explain that. And to our utter amazement, Swami told, somebody was snoring last night.
Oh dear God.
All of us were like, oh God. It was like,
he could hear it through the wall.
Then he told, who was that who was disturbing me all night? Then he was looking at all the boys. Obviously, nobody was raising their hands. And we were instructed the previous night that whoever has a habit of snoring should not sleep next to Swami's room. I snore. So I never attempted to go next to Swami's room. So I slept downstairs. There, obviously, I snored. So Swami pointed towards me. Ha, Nuve.
You only.
You are snoring so badly. And I couldn't sleep. These were the first words Swami spoke to me in Sai Shruti, and I felt so bad that I disturbed Swami. Then Swami so lovingly again he told, yeah, last night all of you had traveled a lot, so you must have been tired. No problem.
So accommodating, no?
Yes. Swami was always...
He himself must have been tired to just say that.
So those were the first words which he spoke
so
to me.
So then you were Sai kept Shruti. A little bit far in a separate cage, insulated soundproof cage for you to snore.
No, I tried to control myself after that particular incident. And then the next day, Swami called all of us downstairs. He started distributing every possible thing which you can imagine. Starting from soaps, towels, then blankets, to cameras, to MP3 players. And you just think of it and you have it there. And Swami, so lovingly, he told, see boys, from the last 15 days, I have been planning all this for you.
Oh.
And none of us knew how much planning went behind this. And Swami, so lovingly, he took all of us there. And just imagine a family of four, which has to tour to a particular hill station. How much of money will be involved? How much of planning will be involved? And here is a big group of 36 boys who are there along with Swami. And how much of planning that must have taken. My point of view was totally different, I feel, from what others thought. And lot of planning, lot of things that Swami did without our knowledge. And in that way I felt that, yes, Swami is our father, our mother. Always I had that feeling. There was nothing other than that. So that morning Swami picked me up for distribution. First, Swami gave soaps.
So you hold the basket and Swami takes from it.
Swami distributes. He sits there on the chair and he distributes to everybody. So I sweat a lot. So even in that
cold
climate, I was sweating. Then Swami, so lovingly, he called me and he gave me a special towel to wipe my face.
Because a kerchief wouldn't do the way you perspire so heavily.
It was a big towel for me. So, and then Swami usually, he sends us for boating. He sends us for horse riding. And in whatever possible way he can show his love, he just grants us all.
Spoiled you guys.
But at the back of our minds, always we have to think that this is a spiritual journey.
And as your teachers had told you, not to forget.
Yes. And there is something much, much more what Swami wants to give us. So his divine proximity itself is such a rare thing that people get. And here we are right in front of Swami, right under his nose, breathing the air which he breathes. And it's such a good fortune that we must... Swami always tells that to whom much is given, that much shall be extracted from. People think that it is expected. But the actual word that Swami used in his discourse is extracted from.
Really?
Yes.
Oh.
And one beautiful incident that happened during this Korea trip 2005 was... We had all gone for boating. Obviously, people give flowers to Swami and Swami feels so happy and he blesses the boys. So, while going for boating, I had seen those blue-violet lotuses which are there in the lake. So, I pulled out four of those lotuses and I thought, Swami will be very happy with me today. I have to give this to Swami. So as soon as I reached Sai Shruti, I took a small container, put water in it, and put all those four lotuses in that. And after one session, I was just ready to offer it to Swami. So I got ready early. I sat right next to Swami's door, kept that bottle of lotuses there right in front of the door and waiting for Swami. To my utter amazement, as soon as Swami opened the door, Swami looked directly towards that bottle and told, "Who is this who has got all these lotuses here?" Because usually when Swami sees any flowers, he feels happy. This was a case where he feels so annoyed. And then obviously I had to get up. Then all were so dumbstruck. Everybody was silent. Nobody dared to speak. So I got up and told Swami, "I only got yanta papam raniku. You incur so much sin by taking all this." Then I told, "Sorry, Swami." Then he kept. Now lovingly he started teaching the lesson to me. See, when these buds are there in the water, when they receive sunshine, it blooms into a fully blossomed flower. You should have kept it there only. I will be happy if it is there. And that time it struck me that Sarva Jeeva Namaskaram Keshavam Pratigachati Sarva Jeeva Tiraskaram Keshavam Pratigachati. If you show love towards all beings, obviously it is like showing love towards God. If you hate any being, obviously it is like hating God. And this was, I felt that I was hurting Swami. So from next time onwards, whenever I try to pluck a flower, I think 10 times before doing that. Because until and unless it's a fully blossomed flower, I don't take it from the stem. I don't pluck it. So this was the lesson that Swami
Leave
taught
the buds
me.
Alone. They have their own blooming to do.
And Swami has so much reverence for Mother Nature.
Totally.
This was what he taught me at that point of time. So these were the lessons which I learnt in the first trip of my
Kodai. But then you became kind of very frequent flyer with the Lord. So we'll talk about that.
One beautiful incident which I recall, which happened in my second year post-graduation. It was during the month of October, when people were going for their winter vacation. I felt like staying back with Swami. I had a desire that I should be a part of Swami's convocation drama. So that was one of my prayers which I had to Swami. And boys who stayed back during the vacation had that opportunity. So I always had a smile on my face. From my childhood, people never saw me with castroil face any time. So that was one advantage which I had over others, which took me into the convocation drama of when I was in my second MSc.
They needed a smiley face.
There was one particular role, which was a newspaper boy role. It was just a role of 1 minute, where I had to come with the newspaper, shout, "Hot, hot news. Here is newspaper, newspaper." I had to sell newspaper and just go back. Only for this particular thing, they had wanted a Josh guy. So the director who had written the script, so he imagined me in this particular role, and he suggested to one of the sirs. So they took Swami's permission and I got selected to that role. To everybody's utter amazement, just for those two dialogues, I used to practice them every day, at least 3 hours every day. Only those two dialogues.
Two lines.
And the impact that practice had on me was so abundant that every practice session, I still remember that year, Swami had come for 17 practice sessions.
For that drama?
For that drama. That convocation drama. People will be remembering that story of Ankit and Alankar, the story of two brothers, in which one is a renowned singer, and because of his ego, he loses his voice, and the story goes as. So, that newspaper boy role, I had to do it in the perfect way possible, giving my best. So, whenever Swami came to the practice session, first he used to ask for newspaper boy.
The hard working, continuously practicing.
Even when sir used to announce the practice session at 10 o'clock, I used to be there by 5 to 10, 5 minutes earlier to the practice. And I used to wait the entire session, even if my role was very small. And that had a lot of impact on the teachers who had trained me. One of the sessions, some boys came late. So the teacher had to teach them a lesson and he pointed towards me and told, "See, this boy has got only two dialogues in the entire 1 hour's drama. And even then he comes regularly for practice he practices so sincerely. And those words of the teacher were reflected with the action which Swami had done. Every day, be it the practice session in the auditorium or in the Purnachandra, every practice session Swami used to call, "Where is the newspaper boy? Where is the newspaper boy?" And to everybody's utter amazement, on the final day of the drama, as soon as the drama got over, Swami came up the stage. He was holding Brother Satyajit's hand. From the end of the stage, he asked, "Where is the newspaper boy?"
Wow.
And I was there in the group for singing the group song. Immediately I had rushed to Swami and I had the opportunity of catching hold of Swami's hand and taking him through the Pad Namaskar session over there. And it was such a...
Your sincere practice, yes. Punctuality.
So that particular event which took place in my second year, I still remember it till date, because whatever small thing is given to you, you have to do the best to live up to it. And that's what Swami expects of us.
They say, you know, doing small things well is perfection.
Yes.
And perfection is no trivial thing.
Yes.
So that truly is what it is all about. Whatever tiny role, you have to do it. Give it everything.
Yeah. So that was the end of the first trip of Kodaikanal. Now as I recollect back the memories of the second trip of the Kodai, that was in 2007. So before I...
In the month of May.
Okay. Yeah. So before I go ahead telling about the second trip of Kodai in 2007, I want to narrate a small experience which happened to me in the year 2006 in the month of March. Swami, obviously, he plans for this Kodai trip much before. So in the month of March, what happened was during the darshan time, Swami was sitting on the throne. And when the Vedam was going on, Swami called me and he asked, "Will you come to Kodai along with me?" That was in the month of March. Obviously, who would say no to that?
Of course.
But I told Swami, "If you take me, I will come." Then Swami told, "Go and sit." So I went and sat. That evening, I called up my parents. Because after the last Kodai trip in 2005, I had never gone home. And that was like, my parents are not into Swami's teaching and all that. They didn't know the importance of staying with Swami physically. They told, "Why don't you come once so that we can see you?" That evening I called up and told, "See, Swami had asked me that whether I'll come for the Kodai trip. So it's a very great opportunity for me. Why don't you come and have Swami's darshan here? You can see me as well as Swami." They didn't tell me anything. And next morning, I wrote a letter to Swami. And evening darshan time, I mentioned in the letter that, "Swami, this vacation I'll stay with you only. If you take me to Kodaikanal, I'll come. My parents will come here and have your darshan and see me also." Then he read the entire letter and he told, "Chudra, Amma Nanna, Ninnu Chudaniki Vastunnaru. Mother and father are coming to see you, not me." And these words, like, they want to see you so badly. Means they are missing you. Swami was stressing on that. He told, "Go and sit." I thought, okay, they will come, have darshan and Swami will take me to Kodai. Those were the thoughts which are going on in my mind. And that was my end of first year of MBA. When we had the industrial tour in the month of April, first week of April.
That is for your final year of MBA.
Yes. So, I had written one more letter to Swami that before going to the industrial tour, "Swami, we are going to the industrial tour. I'll be back in 5 days. So, please include me in the Kodai list." Because he had already told me that he is going to take me. So, to my utter amazement, I was not there in the list. And I had to go home. And when I went home, there was a big problem in my family that my parents were really missing me. So my support was much needed at that point of time. See how Swami plans everything in such a way that all requirements are fulfilled. He never leaves the choice or the wishes of parents just like that. He ensures that parents are happy first. Only then he gives importance to us. So this was one such incident where the problem in the family was taken care of. When I went there, my father had to share that thing which happened in my family, and I was there to support him at that point of time. So after 15 days of trip, Swami came back to Whitefield. So I took my father's permission, and after solving the issue over there, I had gone to Vrindavan. So the most beautiful thing is, I accepted this as Swami's will. Swami wanted me to go home, so that is good for me. With this intention, I went back to Vrindavan. The day I landed in Vrindavan, we had the first Trayi Darshan. As soon as I entered the round hall, Swami was coming inside for Darshan. He was catching the student's hand and he was just entering the hall. As soon as he saw me, he saw my letter and he called me. He took the letter from me and so lovingly he told, "When did you come?" And that eagerness with which he asked was like, he was so loving. He knew the entire problem. He knew that he is going to solve the problem. He was just there for my father to give support, so that when I am there, my father will be more mentally strong. Then he pointed towards that boy who was holding Swami's hand. "Do you know who this boy is?" Then he told Swami, "No." "He is a dancer. He dances very well." So at that point of time, I thought that, see, whatever Swami wants us to do, if we do it, we become real dancers. We are just puppets in His hands. Whatever action He wants us to do, according to His will, we have to give ourselves to Him. So that was the thing which ran in my mind at that point of time. So this was one incident which came in between 2005 Kodai and 2007 Kodai.
And it's a
Kodai.
Very good lesson, because sometimes we are so hyped up and gung-ho, we want to, like, I would have wanted to go to Kodai no matter what.
Yes.
But then you accept it being dropped from the trip as His prasadam.
Yes.
And you realize that you had a different purpose to serve.
Yes.
At that time.
Yes.
You had to support your parents.
Yes.
In a difficult situation. So I think having that positive frame of mind that whatever Swami picks for us is always for our own good.
Yes.
Sometimes you have to swallow a bitter, it's what seems like a bitter pill, but it's never a bitter pill. It's only the medicine you need at that time.
Yes.
Wow, Ganesh, fantastic brother.
Tune in to Sai.
Spend the day with Sai.
From 6 a.m. to 9:30 p.m.
on Radio Sai's Thursday Live.
Radio Sai Thursday Live.
Dear listeners, loving Sai Ram and greetings once again. You just heard the fourth part of this in-house Fleeting Moments, Lasting Memories interview with the Radio Sai's Ganesh, and he was in conversation with Radio Sai's Karuna Munshi. Well, we are looking forward to your feedback to this conversation. As always, you can reach us at listener@radiosai.org. And we invite you to browse through our repository of engaging, inspiring, humorous, moving interviews with several hundred Sai students, all of which are free downloads at our website radiosai.org/Sai students. This shortcut will take you straight to the long list of interviews that are yours to enjoy at leisure.
Let me narrate to you an episode. Our room leader was Kote sir. I asked him, "Is it compulsory to go for darshan?" I had the nerve to ask him that.
I think it's a very sea change when you become a Sai student, because it's only when I joined the Satya Sai College, I discovered that this God is not a photograph on the wall, and He's not something so distant. It's something very, very near you.
And this was lovely, because there you had on the gymnastic bench the student on one side, Swami on the other side, locked in battle.
Again,
it was arm wrestling.
With Swami.
And having been given the divine golden opportunity to have studied in His institutions and directly experienced His love, then we have to really live our lives to reflect His teachings.
Fleeting Moments, Lasting Memories is our weekly radio series in which we bring you conversations with the former students of Bhagwan Baba's schools and colleges. You can also listen to this on Asia Stream of Radio Sai on the Morning Glory segment of Thursday Live, which starts at 9:40 a.m. To know more about the timings of this weekly series, Fleeting Moments, Lasting Memories, on other streams of Radio Sai, please go to the schedule page of our website, radiosai.org. You can also download and listen to this at your leisure by visiting the link radiosai.org/saistudents. That is radiosai/saistudents. Thank you and happy listening. Sai Ram.
One thought that I would like to leave you with is to download on your device or a pen drive as many Fleeting Moments, Lasting Memories interviews with Sai students or TWDU interviews, that is a Twist with Divinity interviews with Sai devotees, and enjoy listening to them while traveling, driving or waiting. Well, a lot of our listeners report that they are doing so and are loving it. This way, they are always with Sai's company and everything goes easy and smooth. Long drives and rides feel so enjoyable and short, and waiting in a doctor's office or the bus stand doesn't seem as irksome. Of course, you've got to use your headphones in those situations. Okay, with that, dear brothers and sisters, I would like to thank you for your company. I hope you have enjoyed today's episode of Morning Glory on Thursday Live. Well, we would love to hear from you. Please send in your feedback by email at listener@radiosai.org. Again, till we meet next Thursday, please be well, keep seeking and do whatever it takes to stay positive and stay inspired. Well, I'm Raghu from Team Radio Sai, taking place of Sister Karuna as she's away for today. And I'll be back again after an inspiring interlude for hosting the next segment of Today's Thursday Life, that is Service, Love in Action.
Deep.